Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Watch new shower session videos now at youtube.com/progressive. Brian Windhorst is going to join us here in just a minute. Here's your SportsCenter update. Georgetown Hoyas men's basketball coach Patrick Ewing is recovering at home after a weekend stay at the hospital with the coronavirus. The Rays opened Tropicana Field to limited workouts on Monday with 14 players. The Astros and Angels announced that their ballparks and spring training facilities will open. And finally, Ruby Rose reportedly quit Batwoman, not because of a severe onset injury she suffered last year, but because it was too much work. A source told Vulture that she was distressed by the long hours demanded of a lead television role and didn't like living in Vancouver. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So Brian Windhorst is with us now. Thank you, as always, Brian, for making the time. What are you hearing about what Bill Simmons is saying, that what basketball is trying to do is get back for July 25th and then tipping off next season, Christmas Day? Are you hearing similar things?
I don't think we're anywhere close to knowing what about anything about next season yet. I think that's obviously under discussion without a doubt. July 25th sounds about right. I don't know if they've got it locked down, but it sounds about right. I'm going to say that as a sort of a disclaimer, things are very fluid, and making any sort of proclamation, and I don't mean from a media, I mean even people within the league, when I'm talking to teams during every day, and they don't know how it's going to go. They're asking me, what are you hearing? Because there's some squishiness to it. But I think what's going to happen is that the owners are going to vote on some sort of package either Friday or have a pretty good idea what it looks like. Then we're going to get an announcement on Monday, and we're going to start the process of bringing players back for a training camp that starts mid-June. And then basketball that starts mid to late July. And hopefully there's no setbacks, and that's what we're going to see.
Are you alarmed by how James Harden looks?
I haven't seen him. I read a story in The Athletic about his workouts in Phoenix. But I think one of the biggest variables in the entire thing here is what sort of condition all these guys are going to come back in. I imagine there's going to be guys who come back looking great and not so great.
When Charles Barkley says the following, you can't stop the playoffs, I think a team's just going to have to forfeit a series in the playoffs if any of their players, not even their best player, gets the virus. You're going to have to sequester the entire team, and they are going to have to forfeit a round of the playoffs. They're going to be gone from the playoffs. Does that seem possible to you?
No, Dan, because this is exactly what has happened with the league. They have gotten their minds around the reality of positive tests. I would say that the biggest thing that's happened is about 3 weeks ago, the NBA made two major shifts. They didn't put out press releases to announce them, but they were made, and that is why we are heading towards basketball and not on the sideline. Number one is they made it very well known that they were not going to use testing if there wasn't ubiquity of testing, excess testing in America. Anybody who needs a test can get it. We were not heading that way as a country, even though in the last 3 weeks we've gotten better. But they shifted, and they said that they would use testing if frontline workers and people who had symptoms could get tests. And they even got a press release or a statement from the Orange County, Florida, which is where Orlando is, health department that said, hey, we've got enough tests for our frontline workers. The Magic can go back to their practice facility, where that was code for you can come here with your bubble and play here. The second thing that they did was they moved off the concept that you would need to isolate an entire team or shut the league down if one person tested positive like they did in March. They shifted from that to believing that very heavily frequent testing with other layers of protection would mean you could just take that player out and keep on going. I know that they did this in talking to the CDC and talking to their other medical experts. We are all hoping that that is true and that it can be done that way and that you can avoid any players getting testing positive. But nobody knows for sure. It's all a guessing game, and that's what makes it so scary, to be quite frank.
Brian Windhorst with us here on ESPN Radio. Brian, have any players voiced any sort of concern to you about coming back?
Oh, yes. I talked to Larry Nance Jr., who has a pre-existing condition, and said that he would hope that any player that would not feel comfortable coming back, either from their own health or from the health of their immediate family, would not be penalized in any way. Would get a pass. Joe Ingles from the Jazz, who has a son who has immune compromised, has said that he may not play. That if he doesn't feel comfortable, he may just go to Australia and skip out on it and not play really forever again. So while I believe that most players do want to play, especially the players for competing for a championship, one of the variables here is I do believe that there's going to be some players who, for various reasons, just don't want to come back. And that could be a factor in how this, playoff chase lines up, depending on who those players are.
I saw a tweet this weekend from Hoop Central saying, never forget the way that Wade and LeBron coughed to mock Dirk Nowitzki during a finals when Dirk Nowitzki clearly had the flu. I think that's the last championship that was won by a single star basketball team. Why does Dirk not get more credit for playing a flu game where he beat LeBron and Dwayne after they mocked him by coughing about his flu?
Yeah, I remember, first off, it was 166 degrees in Dallas at that time. It was so hot. And Dirk was at the press conference, in a full, winter outfit with his hood zipped up to his, or his jacket zipped up to his nose. Dirk was one of these guys who picked up the microphone. He didn't like to leave it on the stand. He'd pick up the microphone and put it right in his face. And I remember thinking, boy, that microphone's probably, pretty nasty. You might want to stay away from that. Of course, that's laughable now. He also, in that series, tore a ligament in his finger in game one. Another thing that wasn't remembered. Dirk's play in that whole postseason was some of the highest level of basketball we've seen in the last 15 or 20 years. But that playoffs, that finals, as you know, Dan, was really about LeBron and the Heat's failings. It was remembered that way. It'll never be remembered in Dallas that way. It was a glorious, their guys all played well. They had a great game plan. Rick Carlisle completely outcoached Eric Spoelstra. Eric will be the first to admit that. But the way that history looks on the Heatles is that they look at that as one that they lost, not the one that the Mavericks won.
Brian, now this is an impossible question to answer, but I'm just wondering, based on your knowledge of the game, the current situation, I'm really looking for your opinion. Does anyone want to come back and play more than LeBron James?
I mean, first off, I think Giannis does. I mean, they're trying to win a championship, and they were on pace for 70 wins, and they think that they can do it. So I think the Bucks are pretty incentivized. Yeah, I mean, this is really important to LeBron. Now, he has vacillated a little bit. So when he won the 2016 championship, and I can understand this, he was feeling pretty chesty that summer. And he gave an interview to Lee Jenkins of Sports Illustrated where he said, I'm chasing that ghost. And he sort of allowed himself to think about going after a Jordan. Then Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors, and the Cavs were really not able to be on the equal footing. And then he's gone to LA and it's been difficult there and the Clippers, and he's changed his verbiage and started talking about how as far as he's concerned, his legacy is in place. He doesn't need anything. And I, by the way, I agree with that. I don't think anyone's ever going to say he would underachieve as a player. But that said, I mean, it's just simple math. It's simple human nature. He's 35 years old. He doesn't have 10 years left. He knows his team was really good. He feels like they were coming together. He wants a shot at it. He wants a 6-week run to do it. The other thing is, I think he's probably worked very hard during this break. He's always a guy who kept himself in very good shape, and he may think that that's an advantage, that his body and his conditioning may be an advantage when he gets back, even though they lose home court advantage. And I think they actually, like, the Clippers could be the biggest winner in this, because the Clippers were potentially facing the Lakers in a hallway series where every game was going to be a Laker home game. You know, they lose that advantage potentially now in that series if it happens. But for sure, I mean, anybody who's running out of years, this means more, because the fewer you have of something, inherently the value is higher.
Stugatz's weekend observation is going to be in 20 minutes. The Hoop Collective show, Brian Windhorst podcast, is something you should check out. You said recently on that show that Durant coming back was a possibility as a 16 seed to face the Lakers. Like, it hasn't been dismissed.
I speculate that it's a possibility. I know what Woj said, which is that, you know, there's no plans to bring him back, but there was a reason that Sean Marks said what he said in New Zealand. I don't think he thought it was going to become a storyline on every television and radio show in the United States, but there was a reason he said that. Maybe the answer is that he's not coming back. Maybe no matter what happens, he's not coming back. But I'm just going to say, we see that Kyrie Irving is working out again. If indeed it's late July, that would mean that they would have 7 or 8 weeks from now to get ready for it. And there's a discussion point. I don't know if it'll happen, but it's a discussion point that they could do 1 through 16 seeding in this. It's something that could happen. And if that happens, it would be Nets Lakers in the first round. Ah. You know, if you told Kevin Durant that he had, you know, that was the case. I mean, look, Kevin had the coronavirus. I don't know where he is from a health standpoint. But I'm just saying that it's one thing to say that I'm not coming back in early May when you were looking like the number 7 seed and you're going to maybe make a token appearance in the playoffs. It's another thing to know that you're coming back at the end of July and to know that you might face LeBron the first round and use a chance you could have Kyrie.
Brian, good catching up with you, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate it. Didn't mean to cut you off, but we're out of time, so I did mean to cut you off. Thank you for being on with us. I appreciate it.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security. Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
If you missed any of our interviews, please check them out on demand in the Dan Le Batard Show podcast, brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Stugatz's weekend observations in about 10 minutes. They're coming after Seinfeld, Stugatz. I'm reading the headlines. The times have changed. Seinfeld hasn't. Sorry, Jerry Seinfeld. It's time to retire or come clean about your life. Step away from the microphone, Jerry Seinfeld. I like the Netflix special. I've told you before that it is really hard to be 65 years old and funny. He made a special in which he did it very simply. He made fun of texting, and he made fun of social media. He made fun of being married. He made fun of the post office. Like, and right. It was funny, and it was a funny way to make fun of the post office, because the idea that a business model from 1630 in the age of email is out here, you know, licking, walking, that these are the ways that we are transporting mail, pennies, that changing the cost by pennies in order, and when really what Seinfeld is saying, just do me a favor, instead of doing all this licking and walking, just have someone open that mail and email it to me for free and tell me what's in it. Like, I thought it was funny when the degree of difficulty on doing that kind of special at that age is really difficult.
It is, but I think they went into it knowing they had you, knowing they had me, knowing they had Greg Cody. They're not concerned about us. They want Tony, Chris, and Billy, and they're not getting Tony, Chris, and Billy. I think that's the problem.
I don't know what they're getting. I don't know how it's done. Netflix has given a lot of money to a lot of comedians. I'm sure they paid him very well in order to do that. I'm just talking about the hunger involved, right, to be 65 years old when you've already got an airplane hangar filled with Porsches and you had the number one television show for a decade. You don't need to be doing that. And so to carve that, to sculpt that, I've told you about that documentary I saw, Comedian. It was fascinating to watch. It's one of the reasons that I think that there's bravery in doing that. After having an airport hangar filled with classic cars, Jerry Seinfeld was bent over in a Cleveland kitchen of a restaurant, shooing away cameras because he was about to work new material on a crowd of like 20 people in Cleveland. Because of how gut-wrenching it is to walk into an expectation of funny, Stugatz, and to have to meet it, where the expectation isn't simply you can be okay, it's I've paid money and you have to be funny. So his act is super sculpted. All these guys, their acts are sculpted to the word. There's not a lot of people out there improving their stand-up acts. They work on that stuff for months in order to get just the right word, the right phrasing. Where do I get the laugh? I'm going to tour around small places and do little clubs and stuff, and I'm going to find the exact word usage I need to make this maximum funny, so that I know musically what we're playing here is I know when the laughs are coming. I can just blow through this. To me, it doesn't seem like very much fun doing it that way. You're basically doing a sculpted memorization. I've had these conversations with Caliendo about how gruesome it must be to be in your like ninth year of doing something the same way. You have to sort of stimulate yourself, because it's very easy to find the places where you know the funny is, because you don't want to be vulnerable in the places where the funny's not or might not be.
I guess I'm not that surprised that even with all the success, he's still trying to do it again, because you always want to challenge yourself. Can I still do this? Can I still make people laugh? Does the act still hold up? Can I get that one final laugh? Little dramatic, but I think that's what you're searching for.
Can I direct deposit $70 million from Netflix? Yes, I understand all those things are at play, but also, let's not forget about that.
I don't feel like Jerry Seinfeld needs $70 million.
Everybody needs $70 million.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebitz. Bezos doesn't need $70 million.
Yes, he does,
Bezos, if Jeff Bezos sees $70 million on the ground, I guarantee you he's picking it up.
Walking right past it. He's walking right past it saying, show me more money than I make in a day. I'm not doing this for less money than I make in a day. Yes, Chris Cody.
What are you guys talking about? Funny's funny. I'm funny.
I didn't know you did a limited fake Seinfeld. Stugatz's weekend observations are next.
That is Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere. Which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Here's your SportsCenter update. Georgetown Hoyas men's basketball coach Patrick Ewing is recovering at home after a weekend stay at the hospital with the coronavirus. Damian Lillard doesn't plan to participate in a resumed NBA season if the Blazers don't have a, quote, true opportunity to make the playoffs. And finally, Netflix says it will now start to cancel accounts that have watched nothing in more than a year, but have still been paying subscription fees. The company said the move would save forgetful customers money. I would advise against that. It's a nice thing to do. I would just, it's not a great business strategy. SportsCenter is brought to you by Blue Emu. From one of America's most trusted brands comes a new maximum strength arthritis pain relief cream. Blue Emu maximum arthritis pain relief cream is non-greasy, deep penetrating, and odor free. Don't let joint pain strike you out. Reach for Blue Emu maximum arthritis cream. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Did you hear that? Netflix business titan Stugatz has some advice for you. Don't be kind and give away your money because you're charging people and they're not using your product.
I mean, it's not their responsibility. If people signed up and they have it on auto charge and they haven't fixed that, it is not Netflix's responsibility to fix it for them. It is their responsibility to themselves and their shareholders to take as much money as possible.
Chris, what do you have here? I saw you flinch a little bit and turn a little red when Stugatz spit out his Stugatzian principle.
Well, I'm kind of a little skeptical of Netflix here. The amount of people that are doing this must be really low for them to be making this sacrifice. If 50 million people were doing that, I guarantee you their strategy would be a little different.
Time now for Stugatz's weekend observations.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Get a free battery test and free installation with any automotive battery purchase at Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Dan... an older, more relaxed Tiger playing on his home course combined with peak Phil throwing a couple of legendary quarterbacks and some Chuck B and Chuck and boom, just like that, the match is back. Speaking of back, Mike Tyson. ESPN.com, 5:50 p.m., Saturday afternoon, second headline, Eli Manning joins Twitter, hashtag COVID-19, Sam Darnold, some advice, look straight ahead, do not look over your shoulder, I repeat, do not. I love that when Sam Darnold does decide to take a peek behind his shoulder, what he'll see, if the sun is shining exactly correct on him, is a man who looks like a Trojan warrior. You've led a miserable football existence when signing a former Super Bowl MVP who is well past his prime. Makes you happy.
Oh, no. It makes you happy? You think Sam Darnold is looking over his shoulder at Joe Flacco?
Oh, I know he is.
For the love of God.
First it was Mono, and now it's Flacco. I mean, it's unbelievable. I hate them, by the way. This is what excites me. I'm 47. Death. Taxes. And every 6 months or so, a sad story about Ryan Leaf. ProFootballTalk.com, 6 p.m. Saturday. Top headline.
Oh, no.
One ex-Patriot thinks Belichick will choose Hoyer over Stidham. Hashtag COVID-19. I mean, seriously. The University of Michigan president said if students don't return to campus, there will be no football. Good for him. I'm guessing that playing football without the students returning would make it seem something like professional sports. And we wouldn't want that. Whatever. You'll never love anything the way Phil Mickelson loves golf. You won't. See you in court, pal. Syndergaard. That's something my dad would say. He's 77. Ridiculous. I saw a headline that said Magic Johnson weighed in on the Jordan-LeBron debate. I didn't click on it because A, there is no debate. And B, whatever Magic said was the most obvious thing ever said about the debate. The Chiefs aren't going to kick off again until like 2035. Seriously. Dan, would you kick off if you had Patrick Mahomes and one down to get 15 yards? Would you? I would never. Ever. Would you?
You hate the new onside rules? You love them? We'll get to that later.
I can't stand them. I don't want to get on Alex Smith, but you guys were so right and I was so wrong because it would take Alex Smith seven downs to get 15 yards. I mean, anyway, why do we love Phil so much? He goes for it on every shot, gambles on every shot, drives his cart where he's not supposed to. He's like us. He's a Gooligan. In-game betting on golf is what I imagine crack to be like. Golf can humble you, unless you're as good looking as Tom Brady. By the way, I don't sit around thinking about smoking crack and what it would be like. I was just trying to make a point. To the people who called the starter at my golf course to inform him, I was on a fairway on a course that was cart path only. Just know, I did so unknowingly. I know who you are. I have a particular set of skills. You break a single rule moving forward, and that starter will be coming for you. How about that? You know what they did, Dan?
What'd they do?
They opened up a can of worms.
Oh, yes.
No, I'm sorry. They opened up a can of anacondas. Monday afternoon, 2:50 p.m. Eastern, CBSSports.com. Second headline, Hall of Fame quarterback sees himself in Joe Burrow. You know what I see, Dan?
What do you see?
Hashtag COVID-19. The quarterback, by the way, Kurt Warner. Back to that can for a second. It's really just a can of wieners. Actually, one small, tiny wiener. But they opened it. Back to Warner for a second. Kurt, you went undrafted. You were bagging groceries. You have nothing in common with Joe Burrow. Also, I promise you, what Joe Burrow sees when he looks at himself is not Kurt Warner. Anytime I see a headline involving Matt Barnes, I fear that Derek Fisher has lived his last day. What happened there? Carson Palmer offers.
You made Matt Barnes a murderer.
I should have done that. I didn't put it in there, and I got there. Carson Palmer offered some advice to Joe Burrow. Said he could change the culture in Cincinnati, just like Carson did when he refused to ever play another down for the Bengals. Reggie Bush is making perfect sense. Yet he is still the last guy I want to hear from regarding the paying of college athletes. Hell am I doing? Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
Stugatz, we got to talk about that bare knuckle fighting story that involves Mike Tyson and more than $20 million. We'll do so next.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Today is for doing, and today we celebrate athletes who are overly generous tippers. Last week, former Bengal wide receiver Chad Johnson tipped a restaurant server $1,000 on a $37 tab. On Sunday, Cavs center Andre Drummond also left a $1,000 tip on a $165 bill. The server, Cassandra Diaz, shared the picture of the check on Instagram, and the restaurant allowed her to keep the entire tip. Gee, that's nice. Today is for doing. It's brought to you by the Home Depot with everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done.
You might understand, you might know that Stugatz is a bit of a blubbering, inconsistent mess without his sports. A few weeks ago, he announced, this was the day the pandemic became real for all of us, that he does not care who the NBA champion is this year. And he just got done during the break saying, this was an actual phrase that Stugatz said. These new playoff seedings, 1 through 16, are tantalizing, to say the least. Tantalizing, to say the least. Like, just not talking to anybody in particular, just sort of wandering around room in his house, talking at a wall, and just sometimes the inner thoughts end up on the outside.
It's five words that I don't think have ever come out of my mouth, ever together in a sentence. And it's, so it's the first time I've ever said that. But I mean, they really do. This is the way we have to do it every year moving forward. Top 16 seeds. I mean, you have first round matchups where you have Lakers, Nets. Dan, you have Clippers and Mavericks in the first round. I mean, Kawhi and the Beluga Whale. I mean, we're talking sports. How about that?
There are going to be certain things that stay with us after this pandemic in terms of how the NBA goes about their season. I think 1 through 16 is something that stays, and starting the season was something that was being discussed before the pandemic, starting it on Christmas Day so you can absolutely own that day and it be the formal kickoff. I think that sticks around. I mean, these are antiquated rules that are made for when cross-country travel was much more of a laborious exercise. This should be the way, especially how many, we're 2 decades running now while we're talking about the discrepancy between one conference and another.
Tantalizing, to say the least, says Stugatz. Also tantalizing, to say the least, must be a $20 million offer from bare knuckle fighting championship president David Feldman. He told Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report has reported that his organization is set to offer Mike Tyson more than $20 million to come out of retirement, bare knuckle fighting. That sounds awful. Like, that sounds super dangerous. I don't know why.
It's actually safer, Dan.
Is it?
That's really? Always like the spin that they put on it. I remember when it first came out and broke on the scene. It's like, your hands hurt. You're not going to start hitting someone. It's not going to be the repeated hits to the face that you have in boxing. That's where the real danger comes. So quicker fights. You're also protecting yourself. They spent, I guess, a PR firm that they hired to represent bare knuckle boxing would argue that it's actually safer, a safer alternative than regular boxing.
Mike, maybe it's safer, but if given the choice, I'd rather Mike Tyson, if he's going to punch me in the face, put a glove on.
Yeah. No, I understand all that.
I think the reason that it's safer is the repeated blows situation. I think that's the substantive thing.
Now, one punch from Mike Tyson with a bare knuckle may kill you.
That's right. There's that.
Yeah, there's that.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think bare knuckle fighting with Mike Tyson is safer than anything.
Yeah.
Like, than anything. I'm saying you could go ahead and cover yourself in whatever it is that sharks most like to eat and dip yourself in water infested with hungry sharks, and that is not safer than bare knuckle fighting Mike Tyson. There is nothing safer than that.
We just made it the most dangerous thing in all the lands. I mean, and I think you're right.
I should say everything is safer than that. Not nothing is safer than that. There's nothing more dangerous than that.
Yeah, but if you're following on social media, and who wouldn't, on the heels of the Stadium Stampede match that happened over the weekend, it seems as though Chris Jericho is angling for some beef with Mike Tyson. For a big pay-per-view bout. Mike Tyson's making yet another appearance on AEW television, and Chris Jericho still hasn't forgotten that time that Mike Tyson punched him out in 2011.
Mike Ryan was watching during the break, Stugatz, because he's such a Cleveland Browns homer, and he's so in the tank for Joe Thomas. This seems right down your alley. The Titan Games, hosted by Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. Did you see Joe Thomas participate in what is basically like some sort of crazy CrossFit obstacle course? He was competing against a firefighter, Stugatz, and he did very well. In fact, he ended up winning, but the way that he won is something that is going to haunt that firefighter all weekend, because people were so impressed that Joe Thomas, the former offensive lineman, Hall of Fame offensive lineman, never missed a snap, lost a bunch of weight after playing football, that Joe Thomas could do this obstacle course faster than a firefighter who seems to be training in that realm a great deal. It was a huge show of athleticism. It was a huge show of endurance. The whole thing seemed exhausting, but at the very end, after falling down and falling behind, the firefighter caught up and just had to basically insert something into a place. That's all he had to do. He was ahead of Joe Thomas, and right, all he had to do was get there and insert it more quickly than him, and he couldn't do it because they were so exhausted. So Joe, but this thing, you haven't seen any of this? You would love this thing. It's just sort of, you know, it's just American Ninja Warrior, you know, deluxe.
I haven't seen it. I will check it out either during the break or after the show today. It appears like the firefighter choked, though. Is that fair? I mean, Joker? I mean,
Mike hasn't seen it, but I'm going to go ahead and play it for him during the break. I do think that he choked. I do think that that is an accurate appraisal. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Did the firefighter in the Titan Games against Joe Thomas choke?